Next, we'll hear from Judge Jarre for the Administrative Director's report.
Thank you, Chief Justice. Good morning, one and all. At your convenience, I invite your attention to the Administrative Director's report summarizing activities of the agency since our last meetings. A couple of highlights, I think, would be of use. First of all, at the very kind invitation of Presiding Judge Susan Green and CEO Mary Beth Todd, I attended the groundbreaking ceremony for the new Yuba City Courthouse in Sutter County on Tuesday. The new courthouse was ranked as an immediate need courthouse by the Judicial Branch's Capital Outlay Plan. The seven-courtroom facility is targeted to open in the spring of 2015. And I understand that the custodial facilities that will attend that new building will be a bit different from those that are currently in service. It was a great turnout. More than 200 people attended. Court, county, and legislative representatives were present to mark the culmination of the efforts by the planning team from the court and the AOC and county in bringing this project to this point. As is the case with all of our new construction, this project underwent the scrutiny from the Cost Containment Subcommittee of the Facilities Advisory Committee and cooperatively assisted in reducing considerably the costs. That process, always painful, was successfully completed. We have 12 projects currently under construction around the state, with the Sutter project included. We've broken ground on 5 this year and expect to break ground on 3 more by the end of the calendar year, which does have some staffing implications, about which more in a moment. On the separate front of AB 1058 commissioner position funding, as everyone in the trial courts knows, there is a cash flow challenge that has always been presented associated with that, because the sums involved are substantial and the delay in reimbursement of trial courts who must front those costs is significant. I'm very pleased to alert you that staff has successfully negotiated with the State Department of Child Support Services to provide conditional advance grant funding to courts to shorten the time between the incurring of expenditures and reimbursements for fiscal 13-14. The expedited process will apply to approximately $43 million of the total grant of $55 million and will, we believe, decrease the reimbursement cycle between 4 to 6 weeks for eligible claims. In addition, internally, we've also streamlined the contract and invoicing procedures for the program to expedite execution of contracts with local courts and reduce the turnaround time for reimbursement of invoices. With respect to the subject of AOC staffing levels and recruitments, once again, at your convenience, pages 15 through 22 of my written report lay out the data associated with that subject matter area, including data relative to FTE vacancies and FTE vacancies that have exceeded 6 months. On this subject matter, as you know, the administrative office has downsized from roughly 1,100 staff to a number that sort of stabilized at around 800 about 9 months ago. Due to continued attrition that one can foresee, we are now currently at a number of about 791, which includes not only full-time FTEs but temporary and contractor staff. Unfortunately, of course, departures have affected our ability to serve our customers in the courts, as, for example, the number of site inspectors that we have available for the new construction program. However, because of the ongoing process of restructuring, the separate ongoing essential services review, about which you are aware, that we initiated ourselves within the agency, as well as ongoing budget issues associated with our funding levels, we've necessarily been holding off on recruitments, other than internal recruitments, of course, for a number of months. However, where the depletion of staff has particularly involved folks with essential and unique skill sets, we are now facing the impairment of our ability to provide timely and quality service to the courts and the public. As an example, due to attrition and most recently the appointment of an AOC labor law attorney to the Los Angeles bench, the labor and employment unit of LSO has gone from 7.6 staff attorneys in 2007 to 2.8 staff attorneys as of August 1 of this year. This is directly impacting our ability to provide legal services in managing pre-litigation charges, lawsuits, and other specialized labor and employment law legal services for trial and appellate courts who rely on LSO for those services. As mentioned, we're currently engaged in a comprehensive review of AOC's essential services to ensure that the organization can most effectively manage workload while maintaining service quality. This is a significant undertaking that was begun in May and will take several more months. We expect to report to this body in October on that topic. In the meantime, a discrete number of immediate and critical court needs directly impacting service to our court customers must be addressed. In addition to the internal recruitment tool that we've employed, I am proceeding with a small number of targeted external recruitments for specialized assignments. Among those recruitments are included two labor and employment lawyers for the reasons noted previously, three site inspectors for our court construction projects scheduled to begin in this fiscal year. I suppose I should mention briefly that, of course, we have a structure for each court construction project that involves an array of private vendors who are coordinated through our capital programs office. Among the functions our capital programs office performs are regular on-site inspections of the progress of construction. Without those services, plainly, there is liability exposure, which is unacceptable, and we simply couldn't proceed without them. We simply have an insufficient number of people with those skill sets to continue on as we turn dirt, as the term goes, on new programs. And so it is for that reason that those three are being recruited. In a similar vein, we are engaging the process of recruiting three courthouse project managers for our modification program. While court construction is something that's highly visible and something that is readily appreciated in the media and so forth, much less noted is the enormous volume of courthouse modification activities that are ongoing with the oversight of the Modification Advisory Committee chaired by Judge Power. 400, I believe, such projects are underway throughout our state in modifying and repairing many of our less than standard quality court facilities inherited from the counties in the process of transfer. We don't have enough funds, as this body is well aware, to perform all of the modification work that is necessary, quite frankly, right now. And so a prioritization process has been put in place by Judge Power's committee. It's a very thoughtful and rigorous process. Plainly, they're applying the funds that are available to those most in need of modification. Sadly, we don't have enough project managers to actually run the projects we can afford. So it's for that reason that we are recruiting for three additional project managers so that to the extent we have funds, we can execute on those modification projects. Each of these positions to which I've made reference has been scrutinized internally. Every position has been fully justified. Leadership of the Executive and Planning Committee has been kept informed relative to each of these circumstances, and every position is essential for meeting immediate critical court service needs. This is a business decision that is driven by customer need and by the Council's charge to me and to the Administrative Office to effectively and efficiently serve the courts. It's my estimate that with these recruitments, our population will continue to hover in the 800 range as it has for the last 8 or 9 months. Chief, that concludes my report.
Thank you, Judge John.